Well, it is Thursday evening here, 6 p.m. this Thursday evening. My name is Evan John. I'm with you here. This is the Water Cooler on 91.1 WHFC. A half hour of sports talk with you here this evening. A lot to talk about now this Thursday. And we'll start, well, there's a lot to go. We got Hartford sports news. We have baseball news going on. The Orioles are, of course, now in full swing. NFL offseason news, of course, some stuff going on there. But first, we have the Hartford County High School roundup by our very own Sean Donovan. Let's hear from Sean before we do anything here.
As high schools come back from spring break, baseball, softball, and lacrosse teams resume normal schedules. The North Hartford baseball team defeated Javi de Grace this past week, 12-2. In softball, the Edgewood girls got a big win over Hartford Christian, dominating 22-0. Also in softball, Hartford Tech defeated Eastern Tech 6-2. And the Hartford Tech baseball team also defeated Eastern Tech 15-13. In tennis, Patterson Mill defeated Hartford Tech 7-4. That's a wrap on high school sports for this week. I'm Sean Donovan. Have a good week.
So that was Sean Donovan there giving us the sports roundup here, high school sports roundup right here in Hartford County. Some good baseball, softball, tennis, all kinds of stuff going on around the county, and including some junior college sports news. Here we'll go to our very own Quinn Madden, outfielder for the Hartford Fighting Owls, announced yesterday he has committed to James Madison University to further his athletic and academic career. Played Division I college ball. I have the privilege of knowing Quinn personally. He's been on the Night Owl show that we host tomorrow night, Seth and myself, but him and a bunch of other guys I've known on the team. Quinn, a good guy for sure, really works hard. He's in early, stays late, that kind of guy. He's earned it for sure. He's played here since 2021, appeared in three games in 21, but a career 76 games for Quinn. He's a career 343 hitter, 17 homers, 68 RBIs to go with it, and a career 443 on base percentage, and good in the field as well, a 972 career fielding percentage for Quinn. Very solid defensively, a very good hitter at the plate, and I've talked about that before on the broadcast here. If you listen to any of the and watch any of the Hartford baseball games, I've said Quinn is a guy that just shows you how deep this JUCO World Series team last year was here. Quinn found himself a lot of days not in the lineup. When he did play, he was, you know, hitting ninth, eighth, maybe. And now this year, as they turn a new leaf, some of those guys committing to bigger schools, moving on to bigger and better things. Quinn's now in the cleanup spot very often, hitting fourth, third sometimes in this Hartford lineup, more consistently fourth in that cleanup spot. It just goes to show the depth this team had last year, and not that they're not good this year, but just how amazing the team was last year, and still playing pretty well this year. Of course, they are not that team they were last year, just absolutely dominant. Sometimes you don't appreciate that fully until, you know, the season's over and the guys are gone and they're not here anymore, but very, very good for Quinn. He's going to James Madison to play Division I college ball. Good for him. Happy to hear it for him. But now let's go on to some Major League Baseball news here. The Rays starter, Jeffrey Springs, exited the game this afternoon, left forearm discomfort in the fourth inning. The team announced that Springs will be reevaluated on Friday morning. And I bring that news to you here because, of course, it's in the division for the Orioles. And Springs allowed his first run today in three starts so far this season, 16 innings even of work. Springs has only allowed the one run, a .59 earned run average when he exited today. And Jeffrey Springs is the three starter in that rotation right now. Drew Rasmussen yet to allow a run, 13 innings of work for him. Shane McClanahan also just in three games, 17 innings of work, a .159 earned run average. This is why the Rays are as good as they are right now this year. And they also have Tyler Glasnow. Tyler Glasnow has not pitched yet Glasnow's hurt, sidelined on the IL, right now hasn't even appeared in this rotation, yet Zach Eflin also hitting the IL for this Rays rotation as well yesterday. But the Rays beat the Red Sox today 9-3. They improved to 13-0 to start the season. They joined the 87 Brewers and the 92 Braves as the only teams in Major League history to ever do so, to start 13-0 on the year. And, I mean, I'll tell you why. Here, the Rays team earned run average, 223. That's first in the Major Leagues. The batting average against, just a 189 against the entire staff. That's also good for first in the majors. And then on the other side of the ball, on the offensive side, the Rays are hitting 287 as a team. That's second only to the Toronto Blue Jays. Of course, again, in the AL East, a juggernaut of a division. They have the most home runs, the most RBIs, most runs scored, the best on-base percentage as a team, the best slugging percentage as a team, and the best OPS as a team. So Tampa leads, you know, not only the best rotation in the league at the time of this recording, of course, at the time of the show, it's, of course, only 2 weeks into the season, but still, the best rotation in the league right now. It's not particularly close, and just a dominant offense to go with it, too. I mean, they lead 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 offensive categories, as well as the team earned run average and the team batting average against. So, can't be doing it much better than the Rays are right now. They're 13-0, lead most categories across the league, and that's why they are 13-0. But we do have a lot of Orioles to talk about as well. We'll take a break, breathe for a second here, and then we'll talk some Orioles in just a second. So the Orioles today, they walk it off. Adley Rutschman coming through for the Birds in the bottom of the ninth. An absolute bomb of a home run to right center field underneath the big scoreboard there in the bottom of the ninth to give the Orioles the 8-7 win and the series win. 3 games out of 4 with the Athletics. The Orioles are really, really swinging the bat well. Really swinging the bat well early on in the season. They have 29 runs in those 4 games with the Athletics. They're averaging 5.5 runs a game. That's fourth in the American League, or fourth in the majors right now for the Orioles. They are top 10 in a bunch of offensive categories. I'll read them off to you real quick. They're fourth in home runs. These are all as a team, of course. Fourth in home runs, third in RBIs, third in runs scored, third in slugging percentage, eighth in on-base percentage, fourth in OPS, 10th in hits, just cracking the top 10 at 110 already on the year. 7th in doubles, 7th in walks as a team. And they'll steal the bases too, tied for first. Stolen bases as a team with 19. So this team gets on base. They're not only top 10 in hits and, you know, top 10 in all these offensive categories, but they're also top 10 in base on balls, in walks. So not only are they hitting well, but they're getting on base. They're disciplined at the plate, which is huge. But they're 7-6 because the other side of that coin is the pitching staff. The team earned run average right now, 5.49. That's 27th in the majors. The batting average against, teams hitting 274 against the Orioles. That's 28th in the league. They've allowed the fourth most earned runs. They've given up the second most hits. And it's really just, I said last week that the starting rotation for the Orioles wouldn't be the issue this year. It wouldn't be why the Orioles lose games. And here I am a week later saying starters have to go deeper for Baltimore. Pitch counts are high. The bullpen is taxed because of it. These guys aren't going 5 innings. A lot of Orioles starters going 4, you know, 4+. And it's just, it's not long enough for the bullpen. They're taxed. They're already dealing with injuries. Dylan Tate not up here. Still on the IL for him. And, I mean, all these teams, everyone in this league is a major leaguer. Every team is a major league team. Everyone is good in the major leagues. But Oakland gave the Orioles way too much trouble this week. Way too much trouble. A team averaging 3.5 runs a game coming into the series, averaged 6, almost double their average runs on the year in these 4 games with the Orioles. They were just hitting the ball all over the yard. The bullpen and especially the offense for the Orioles bailing them out to get 3 out of 4. But, I mean, just break down the series here. I mean, great start from Kyle Gibson in game 1. Loved him. That was a 5-1 win for the Orioles. The next night, Grayson Rodriguez makes his Oriole Park debut. His pitch count was high. He was getting hit a little bit, albeit on, you know, all the hits and walks and all that stuff. They were all on 2 straight counts. So he was pitching pretty well, but got hit around a little bit. The pitch count was too high. You go to the bullpen earlier than you'd like. They start to hit the bullpen a little bit. The Orioles offense, particularly Ryan Mountcastle, comes to the rescue. The Orioles win it 12-8. And then the next day, Dean Kramer tagged for 3 on a mistake, hung a breaking ball, 3-run shot in the top of the first for the Athletics. Didn't go very deep. O's Penn struggles in the late innings. You drop that game 8-4. And then today, of course, Cole Irvin tagged for 6 over 4 innings of work. The pen and the bats keep the Orioles in it. They walk it off on Adley Rutschman's solo shot to right center for the 8-7 win. So let's go to this. Just take a trip with me for a second. I'm not freaking out about this Orioles team. I'm not. It is the first week of the season. I'm happy 3 out of 4 with the Athletics. You love to see the series win. They're headed to Chicago on a high note. Happy plane ride for the Birds. But I have to point this out. I have to. The Orioles are 7-6. You have the walk-off loss in Boston. That's the Ryan McKenna drop pop-up game, of course. McKenna, yes, does have to catch that baseball. I personally like McKenna, but he has to catch the ball to end the game there. You win one more. You drop 2 of 3 to the Yankees. If you win one more, it's a very depleted Yankees team. They have 11 guys on the IL. Right now, the O's drop 2 of 3 to the Yankees. And now they're 7-6. Just that those two, you catch the pop-up in Boston, no walk-off home run. You win one more against a very depleted Yankees team. You turn 7-6 into 9-4 real quick. And you could argue 10-3 with the sweep of Oakland. You know, Jace Peterson takes extra bases on a McKenna and Hayes, you know, miscues in the outfield, just caught sleeping a little bit out there. Peterson takes both bases, and he turns into a big one for the Athletics. Now, a 4-game sweep in Major League Baseball is very hard to do. I no doubt about that. I totally agree. A 4-game sweep is very hard. But so is the American League East. Not saying you have to be perfect in the division, but you have to be close. And these are the kind of things this division will make you pay for and will haunt you for. A caught pop-up in Boston, 2 out of 3 against a very hurt Yankees team, again, 11 guys on the IL during that series, and a sweep of potentially one of the bottom teams in the league in the Oakland Athletics. You turn 7-6 into 10-3, just like that. Snap of the fingers. 7-6 is 10-3. Just like that. And it starts with the starting rotation going deeper into games. These starting pitchers are getting tagged for a lot of runs. Pitch counts are high. Walks, not a ton of walks, but they're getting hit around. They're not getting a lot of swing and miss stuff. You know, batters fouling pitches off over and over again. And all of a sudden you're at, you know, 60 pitches in 60, 70 pitches in the fourth inning for these Orioles starters. Again, I'm not saying you have to be perfect in the division, but the Rays are right now. They're 13-0 in the division. It's not fair. It's not fair in the AL East. It's harder than the rest of the league. I will die on that hill. There is not a tougher division in Major League Baseball than the American League East. It's tough being the Orioles because the Rays player development is great. They're a small market team. They figure it out. The Orioles are also smaller market, playing with big dogs here. In the American League East, the Blue Jays are good. The Yankees are really good. The Red Sox have a lot of money. They don't look fantastic. But this division is really, really hard to play in. And just with those easy, easy things, you know, mental mistakes in the outfield, starters going a little bit deeper into games for you, you rest the bullpen just a little bit longer, and you potentially turn 7-6 into 10-3 just like that. It's early, I know. But that right there, that is the kind of stuff that is going to come back to you at the end of the season. I'm telling you, if the Orioles are going to get in the playoffs, if they're going to make the postseason here in 2023, it's not going to be by much. It's not going to be comfortable. It's going to be winning in on a second to last or last day of the year. It's going to be a game or two for the Orioles. And again, I'll say it again, I just give you three wins right there. Three wins the Orioles could have, and I would argue should have had. 7-6 and 10-3 are very different right now at this point of the season. And we'll see how it goes. You know, Orioles, plenty of time. A good schedule coming up for the White Sox. A little bit tough pitching matchups for them, too. Then you play two in D.C. You got to go get those. Then Detroit comes back to town, and you should get those. But it's tough, and the Orioles can't afford many mistakes. They can't. These are things you will get away with in the American League Central, the National League Central. You will get away with these, but not here. Not here. It's tough. Like I said, you don't have to be perfect, but you got to be pretty darn close to it if you're going to get out of the American League East. And the Orioles, just they're above 500. Again, happy plane ride to Chicago. Nothing wrong with that. Spirits high going in to play the White Sox after a big walk-off win today. But this team could be better than they are right now. And I think they should be. And all you can do is hope that it doesn't come back. And, you know, you look at the schedule and say what could have been when you enter, you know, the later weeks of September. Again, I'm still high on this team. It's okay, it's fine. But this is the kind of stuff you can't afford to do, and the Orioles have to clean it up and clean it up fast if they're gonna stick around and compete in this division, in this American League. You're hunting for a wild card spot. And, you know, the 10-3, easy wild card spot. You're wild card one right now if you turn that into 10-3. It's early. We're not even in May yet. Still pretty early April. But just something to think about for sure. So, again, around the league, again, here too, the Orioles competing with the Blue Jays, the Yankees, all these big teams. The Blue Jays come back to beat the Tigers last night. Tough win. I was hoping the Tigers could hold on, but I was upset when I saw the Blue Jays trailing by one with the bases loaded and nobody out in the bottom of the ninth. Around the league today, you have the Twins visiting the Yankees. Yankees, good pitching matchup for them. A sub-1 ERA for a young guy, Johnny Brito, 25 years old. He's pitched in two major league games, 10 innings of work, one of them being against the Orioles. Sub-1 ERA at .9 for him. He's opposite Joe Ryan, 2-0 with a .375. And then the Blue Jays hosting the Tigers once again. Chris Bassitt, 1-1 with a .1061 earned run average. A little bit of a tough start for the Blue Jays starter. And then Turnbull for the Tigers. He's also a little bit struggled a little bit too as well. 8 innings of work in 2 games. He's 0-2 with a .13.5. Earned run average. That's Spencer Turnbull for the Tigers today. And then as far as the rest of the league is concerned, or for the Orioles anyway, inside the division, the Rays, of course, beat the Red Sox 9-3 today. That game has gone final. Like I said, the Rays improved to 13-0. Only the 87 Brewers and the 92 Braves have started 13-0. So great start for the Rays. And everybody gets frustrated with the Rays because they don't spend any money. They don't. But they have the best player development I think you will ever see over there with the Rays. They have a system, algorithm, whatever they do over there, they nail it almost every single time. The coaching's fantastic. Like I said, player development is just outstanding over there if you're the Tampa Bay Rays. And it's a shame because there's not a ton of fans there to support it. It really is. The Rays don't have a ton of fans. They could use a better ballpark, and it's just a fantastic team. It really is. It really is a great team over there, and I will eat those words a week later now. I said I thought the Orioles were better than the Rays when I came on and did my, you know, pre-opening day show for you here. But the Rays are much better than I thought the Rays were. I guess I didn't dive into the roster enough. I thought I did. Maybe I didn't. Or maybe I just should have known better. Knowing who the Rays are as a team, as an organization, they just find a way time and time again to just be a thorn in the AL East's side. The Yankees thought it was their division, of course. Once again, you could talk about injuries and everything like that. Toronto was going to be up there, too. But the Rays just making a name for themselves here in this American League East. They don't just want to get in. They want the division, and they just might go get it this year, too, if they can keep this up. They're not even at full strength, like I said. Jeffrey Springs, of course, went down today. Bullpen bats figured it out for Tampa. Tyler Glasnow hasn't made his 2023 debut yet for the Rays. So, scary, scary team over there. You know, offense led by Brandon Lau, Randy Arozarena, and company over there. You know, Wander Franco and all these guys that just are just good. They're just good. I don't know how else to say it. They're just a good, well-rounded squad down there in Tampa, Florida. But the Orioles go to Chicago. We'll preview that series to end the show. But first, let's talk some NFL news here on the Water Cooler. So now we'll talk some NFL. Here is the draft is getting closer every week, just a couple weeks away now from the NFL draft. But some news here, a little bit of older news now. Actually, I had it marked down for the show last week, and I forgot to put it on. Or I put it on. It was written down in my notes for the show, but I never got around to it. I ran out of time. Talked too long about the Orioles. But the story that is about a week old now, Tyreek Hill says he wants to retire after the 2025 season to explore the business side of things. It's an interesting decision for me. I think Hill's played in 108 career games over 6 years in the NFL. He has 598 receptions, good for 8,340 yards and 63 career touchdowns. Spent time, of course, with the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes and company in Kansas City, and now, of course, with the Dolphins down in Miami. It's an interesting decision. I mean, Hill's still one of the best wide receivers in this league. I would say he's just an absolute burner. Down the sideline, one-on-one coverage over the top will get you pretty much every time. And I have to, you know, wonder why a little bit he wants to retire so early. Of course, you know, if he has his money, he's done what he wants to do. You know, avoid injuries. He's a smaller guy. I understand that. But, I mean, I'll throw it out here. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'll get some backlash for this one. But is it Tyreek Hill fearing what he is when he starts to slow down a little bit as age catches up with him? Is Tyreek Hill very, very containable once you eliminate a little bit of that speed he has? Does Hill not want that to be the story as his career comes to an end as he gets older? Does he want to go out with being this dominant, really fast wide receiver? Nobody thinks about what happens when Tyreek Hill gets slower because Tyreek Hill never plays when he's slower. Is that part of this? I think it might be. I don't know. I'll be talking with friends later and stuff. I might catch backlash for that. I might catch heat. I don't know. We'll see. But I think part of this might be Tyreek Hill not wanting to be a slower version of Tyreek Hill trying to compete here in the NFL because he is smaller. He is smaller. If you can keep up with him, you're going to cover him. That's for sure, but does Tyreek Hill not want to know what Tyreek Hill is when he's not as fast as Tyreek Hill can be? Something to think about. Something to think about there. But in other news, Dan Snyder nearing a deal to sell the Washington Commanders to a group led by Josh Harris. Harris is also a co-owner of the Philadelphia 76ers. He is leading this group, buying the Commanders from Dan Snyder. The price is about $6 billion. It'll be interesting to see what the Commanders do under new ownership. Of course, FedEx Field is, can we be honest for a second, a dump in Landover, Maryland. You know, stadium quite literally, we've seen the videos online of the stadium quite literally falling apart sometimes over the past couple of years. The team hasn't been very good in a long time. Finally, the last time the Commanders won more than 11 games in a season. It's going to be a little while ago, for sure, but we'll see what happens with new ownership, of course, and then you have all the other stuff Dan Snyder brought to the organization off the field, all those stories. you had. So Dan Snyder getting out of the league, so it seems, here as long as this deal is completed, goes through. And I'm interested. I really am interested to see where the Commanders go under new ownership. I think it's time. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Also, of course, if you're a Ravens fan, you know this one, but I got to say it on the show. Odell Beckham Jr., a Baltimore Raven on a one-year, $18 million deal. It's expensive. It's expensive. Of course, it's got to be incentive to keep Lamar in town. You don't have to be a genius to figure that one out. It's incentive for Lamar to stay here. Maybe not necessarily sign, but play under the tag. Maybe. I said maybe. I know as you're freaking out there, Lamar's not going to play under the tag. I said maybe. But it's what it is. It's incentive for Lamar to stay. Of course, the Ravens have struggles in the wide receiver room. Not a ton there. Devin Duvernay, you know, you want him healthy and all that stuff. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, what this means for the Lamar saga we've seen over the past months here now as the draft approaches. And it's going to be decision time for the Ravens and other teams if there really is. If this is going to come to a crossroads here at some point. We'll see what the move is, if there's any. But the surface story is Odell Beckham Jr. is a Baltimore Raven on a one-year, $18 million deal. And to wrap up the NFL here, there are talks that the Houston Texans, reports that the Houston Texans, who own the number two pick in the NFL draft right now, are players to trade in with the Arizona Cardinals that are currently shopping that number three overall pick. The Texans want to pick 2 and 3. That would be, you know, of course, you look down the list, it'd be bad news for the Seattle Seahawks picking at 5. They want first pick at the rest of the field. They want a team that needs a quarterback to trade in there, and you have picks 1, 2, 3, and 4 being quarterback picks, and then the Seahawks at 5 get the first overall pick at the rest of the field. If the Texans trade in with Arizona, that will not be the case. Texans will take their quarterback at 2, and then maybe a Will Anderson, Jalen Carter at 3. Which the Seahawks want to do. So we'll see what happens there, but Texans rumored to want to trade in to number 3 and pick 2 and 3 in this year's NFL draft. One last thing here. We'll preview the Orioles series as they travel to Chicago tomorrow, 7:10 p.m. Tyler Wells, the 3.27 ERA against Mike Clevinger, the 3.48 earned run average. On Saturday, you have Kyle Gibson, the 3-0, 3.44. Currently the Orioles ace, not close in my mind. And then Michael Kopech is his counterpart, 0-2 with a 6.75 earned run average. And then the Orioles will want to win games 1 and 2 because they faced a Cy Young finalist last year on Sunday. It's Grayson Rodriguez for the Orioles, opposite of Dylan Cease. 2-0 with the 1.65 earned run average. Really, really tough pitcher for the Orioles to face, but they're swinging it well. The Birds are swinging it well here in the early part of the season, but I'm out of time. That's all the time I got for you here. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Same time, same place next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Of course, go O's this next, as we enter the weekend here. Join us again tomorrow night. We have the old SID here, the man that hired me, myself, and Seth to do sports broadcasting, Adam Fornwalt, along with the Athletics photo man and technology guy, if you will, with the live stream and everything, Richie Gutierrez, those two good friends coming on the show tomorrow night to join us. We'll talk Hartford sports, you know, general pro sports, all kinds of other stuff here. It'll be a good time. Really good guys, not just coworkers, but genuine friends as well of myself. So it'll be a good time. Tomorrow night, join us. That's 9 to 11 p.m. Night Owls here on 91.1 WHFC. As for the water cooler, same time, same place next week, 6 to 6:30. Thank you guys so much for listening. Go O's. We'll see you next week.